The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, I'm Doris Hyde for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Vision News. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the North Carolina Reading Service, our spring newsletter, from Healthline, Genetics and Blindness, from AppleViz.com, Be My Eyes has a new AI virtual assistant, from Fighting Blindness, Paralympian Isaac John Paul. From DC News Now, Howard County, Maryland honors their first blind teacher. Let's get started. Happy spring, North Carolina Reading Service. Spring work is going on with joyful enthusiasm, quote by John Muir. NCRS will be closed on Good Friday, April 7th, and Easter Sunday, April 9th. We wish everyone a happy and safe holiday. A fond farewell. Please join us in wishing our Director of Development, Janet Schanzenbach, a very happy retirement. For over 5 years, Janet has been an integral part of the NCRS family, and we wish her all the best in her new adventures. Celebrate Janet's retirement with us at the NCRS office with cake and well wishes on Friday, March 31st, between 10:30 a.m. and 2:30 p.m. We look forward to seeing you then. Special offer for NCRS volunteers. Would you like to meet your fellow NCRS volunteers and learn about a piece of Raleigh history? Join us for a special free tour of historic Yates Mill for NCRS volunteers on Wednesday, April 19th from 2 to 4 p.m. Yates Mill is a fully restored circa 1756 grist mill in Wake County, North Carolina, and the centerpiece of historic Yates Mill County Park in Raleigh. Space is limited. Please call or email Missy at 919-832-5138 or missy@ncreadingservice.org to reserve your spot. NCRS welcomes our newest volunteers. Welcome our newest volunteers of 2023. Thanks to our awesome volunteer trainers, Kurt Benrud, Susie Pratt, and Jean Jaros for making this volunteer training possible. And thanks to all our regular readers for helping with this process and making the newest members of our NCRS family feel welcome. Tech tips and reminders. Morning Weekly Day readers, please note you should be reading the Eastern NC newspapers by 11 a.m. or earlier if needed. There should be more articles printed than you will most likely need. Please leave the unread articles for Missy or Guy, or leave them in the extra edition pocket in the cutting room. All readers, please remember to turn off the channels on the soundboard before leaving your studio. Remember to paperclip and date all unread articles before you put them in the extra edition pocket in the cutting room. We will be reading some of these articles on our other live broadcasts and need to be able to source them. Please do not put any sports articles in the extra edition pocket. They should be recycled. Thank you for sharing your time and talent with our listeners. From the NCRS Board of Directors, Greg Suggs, President, Iris Green, Vice President, Sharon Benton, Secretary, Jim Cronin, Treasurer, Daryl Gordon, Brandon Hare, Craig Hayward, Kim Otten, Robert Parrish, Patricia Sykes, Jennifer Walker, Past President George Douglas, Co-Founders Ben Eason, deceased, and Dr. Ed Funkhauser. Contact NCRS staff, May Tran, Executive Director, may@ncreadingservice.org. Missy Hollander, Production and Volunteer Manager, missy@ncreadingservice.org. Janet Schanzenbach, Director of Development, janet@ncreadingservice.org. From Healthline.com, Genetics and Blindness, What You Should Know About Inherited Eye Diseases. Rare genetic diseases can lead to inherited eye conditions that may impact your vision. Genetic testing is a key way to diagnose these eye issues in order to find support, treatment options, and even gene therapy. Some visual disorders are the result of genetic mutations. Known as inherited retinal diseases, IRDs, these eye conditions have historically been difficult to diagnose and nearly impossible to treat. However, modern advances in genetic testing and gene therapy now offer hope to the 2 million people trusted source affected worldwide. This article will discuss IRDs, possible symptoms you may experience, and who's most at risk of genetically associated blindness. We'll also explain how gene testing and gene therapy that can be used to diagnose and treat this inherited form of vision loss. Is there a genetic link to losing your eyesight? Research shows more than 260 genes have been identified that may lead to impaired vision and blindness when they contain a mutation. The only way to know for sure is to go through genetic testing in order to receive a formal diagnosis. Genetic testing is a multi-step process that may take weeks or months to complete. The process is often as follows: a collection of both your and your family's health histories, a detailed clinical exam that can include dilation, visual acuity testing, a slit lamp eye exam, imaging, a visual field test, or electroretinography. One or more specific IRD and related genes are identified for further investigation based on all the information gathered. A blood or saliva sample for analysis of your genome. Along the way, you may work with a genetic counselor to understand and manage the process. The genetic counselor can help you and your family anticipate and manage the emotional impact testing can have. Additionally, the genetic counselor may help you understand which tests are most likely to be useful and which treatment options are most relevant. With a combination of information and emotional support, the genetic counselor can help you make decisions about your care. These decisions can include how far to pursue genetic testing. What are the main rare genetic diseases that lead to blindness? The most common IRDs are retinitis pigmentosa, RP. This is a genetic condition that causes the light-sensing cells in the retina to die off. The person affected is usually born with RP, but symptoms may not appear until later in childhood and become more noticeable with age. Choroid uremia. This disease is brought about by gene mutations that cause the retina and choroid to lose cells. This retinal disease, found primarily in males, causes progressive vision loss, usually starting with night blindness. Stargardt disease. This disease is also called Stargardt macular dystrophy or juvenile macular degeneration. It causes damage to the macula but rarely results in complete loss of vision. Cone-rod dystrophy, CRD. CRD is a rare group of eye diseases that cause light-sensitive cells, cones and rods, to deteriorate over time. Usually beginning in childhood, CRD affects light sensitivity in the retina and causes blurred vision. Leber congenital amaurosis, LCA. LCA is a rare genetic disorder that can cause blindness in infants, sometimes at birth. LCA is linked to light sensitivity, photophobia, uncontrollable eye movements, nystagmus, extreme farsightedness, slow-reacting pupils, misshapen corneas, and crossed eyes, strabismus. Do certain hereditary health conditions cause blindness? While some hereditary diseases, like glaucoma and cataracts, can put sight at risk, they're distinct from other health conditions that have genetic links and may eventually lead to impaired vision or blindness. An example of such a condition includes diabetes, which raises the risk of vision problems such as glaucoma or macular edema and diabetic retinopathy. However, just because diabetes has genetic links doesn't mean vision issues are hereditary or guaranteed. Another example may include sickle cell disease, a genetic condition that's present at birth. Sickle cell disease is inherited when a child receives two variant genes, one from each parent, that code for abnormal red blood cell hemoglobin and can lead to impaired vision or even blindness over time. How do you treat genetic eye diseases to prevent vision loss? After a diagnosis is made through genetic testing, doctors can then monitor your eyesight and help you find treatment and support as needed. An eye care team will also track your vision with regular exams and can help you find enabling supports and adaptations. These are possible ways to prevent vision loss if you're living with an inherited eye disease. Wearing ultraviolet, UV, protective eyewear is often where to start. UV protection reduces exposure to potentially damaging or irritating UV light waves. Lifestyle practices that support good overall health can be helpful in supporting eye health. If you don't already, consider eating nutritious food, exercising regularly, and not smoking. Assistive tools and technologies are becoming more widely available to people whose eyesight has been affected. Screen readers and voice recognition software make it easier to navigate computers and other kinds of screens. Mobility aids, such as voice-enhanced GPS and auditory signals at crosswalks, make moving through the streets safer. Specialized lenses or glasses can help correct vision. Adjustable lighting can provide the proper level of brightness, reduce glare, and improve contrast, making it easier to see. Items and tools made to be high contrast, such as computer keyboards and control panels, can be easier to read. Does gene therapy work for inherited eye diseases? Gene replacement therapy introduces a new gene into the cell to replace the mutated version and restore the cell's function. For people with IRDs, this means injecting a working copy of the defective gene into the eye. However, gene therapies to address IRDs are in the early phases, and more research is needed. Gene replacement therapy has proven effective in addressing at least one inherited eye disease, LCA. Researchers are investigating gene replacement therapies that will address other IRDs, and the overall outlook for people living with IRDs is hopeful. Several clinical trials to investigate specific IRDs are underway and actively recruiting participants. These efforts may offer people affected by IRDs hope for a path forward that will preserve and possibly even improve their eyesight. So far, the Food and Drug Administration, FDA, has only approved a single gene replacement therapy called Luxturna. While this therapy isn't a cure, it restores sight for people with LCA caused by a mutation in the RPE65 gene. The approval of Luxturna in 2017 represented a watershed moment in the treatment of IRDs. The approval exemplified that gene replacement therapy can be effective. In response, increased emphasis has been put on developing more gene-based therapeutics and continuing research. Stem cell therapy may also be possible to restore the retinal pigment epithelium, which is a component of the retina that's vital for visual functions. Microchip implants are also being tested to help affected eyes regain useful vision. As always, it's best to discuss any potential options with an eye care team. Takeaway: our understanding of sight loss and blindness caused by gene mutations has improved with the arrival of genetic testing. Vision researchers are discovering multiple new treatment strategies to help restore vision to those affected by IRDs. These advances, along with the development of gene-based therapeutics like Luxturna, that's spelled L-U-X-T-U-R-N-A, may offer the hope of sight-saving treatments for people living with IRDs. From AppleVis.com, A-P-P-L-E-V-I-S, Be My Eyes unveils new virtual volunteer with advanced visual recognition capabilities powered by OpenAI's GPT-4. The Be My Eyes app is set to gain a new feature called the Virtual Volunteer, powered by OpenAI's recently announced GPT-4 model. This new tool has the potential to be a game changer for people with visual impairments, providing a virtual sighted assistant that can generate context and understanding for images in the same way as a human volunteer can. Be My Eyes has been providing technology for the blind and low vision community since 2012, connecting users with volunteers for assistance with everyday tasks like navigating airports and identifying products. The new feature, which uses GPT-4's visual input capability, will allow the app to offer an even greater degree of independence to users and expand the use cases for the app. Michael Buckley, CEO of Be My Eyes, stated that in the short time we've had access, we've seen unparalleled performance to any image-to-text object recognition tool out there, and added that the implications for global accessibility are profound. In the not-so-distant future, the blind and low-vision community will utilize these tools not only for a host of visual interpretation needs, but also to have a greater degree of independence in their lives. The difference between GPT-4 and other language and machine learning models is both the ability to have a conversation and the greater degree of analytical prowess offered by the technology. Basic image recognition applications can only identify what's in front of them, while GPT-4 can extrapolate, analyze, and understand context, allowing it to offer much more comprehensive assistance. One of the most exciting aspects of the virtual volunteer feature is its ability to offer instantaneous visual assistance for a wide variety of tasks. In a given example, users can send an image of the contents of their fridge to the tool, which will then not only identify what's in the fridge, but also suggest recipes that can be prepared with those ingredients. The new feature has undergone beta testing with a select group of Be My Eyes employees, yielding overwhelmingly positive feedback. Testers have praised the feature's functionality, particularly in one instance where a user was able to expertly navigate the railway system. The feature provided detailed information about the user's location on a map and offered step-by-step instructions on how to safely reach their desired destination. In the video accompanying the announcement, a Be My Eyes user shows the app helping her with a number of tasks, including describing the look of a dress, identifying a plant, reading a map, translating a label, directing her to a certain treadmill at the gym, and telling her which buttons to push at a vending machine. Jesper Vering Henriksen, H-E-N-R-I-K-S-E-N, CTO of Be My Eyes, explains that traversing the complicated physical world is only half the story. There are challenges faced by visually impaired people when using screen readers to understand web pages, especially when it comes to images. GPT-4 is able to summarize the search results the way sighted people naturally scan them, not reading every minuscule detail, but bouncing between important data points. This technology could simplify tasks such as reading news online and navigating cluttered e-commerce sites for people with visual impairments. The virtual volunteer will be available to users in the coming months, and it has been hailed as game-changing by Buckley. Ultimately, whatever the user wants or needs, they can re-prompt the tool to get more information that is usable, beneficial, and helpful nearly instantly. If and when the virtual volunteer is unable to answer a question, it will automatically offer users the option to be connected via the app to a sighted volunteer for assistance. The tool will be free for all blind and low vision community members using the Be My Eyes app. You can currently register in the app to be placed on a waiting list for access. We are excited to discover how the virtual assistant will compare to other similar apps in the market, such as Seeing AI and Envision AI. If it lives up to the hype, this should indeed be a game-changing development. Please share your own thoughts and hopes about this exciting development in the comments section. From fightingblindness.org, blind Paralympian reaching new heights. Inspired by his collegiate basketball Hall of Fame mom, Isaac Jean-Paul has always been determined to be a professional athlete from an early age. Isaac doesn't remember a time he wasn't playing sports, but he also doesn't remember a time when he was fully sighted. Isaac was diagnosed with X-linked juvenile retinoschisis, R-E-T-I-N-O-S-C-H-I-S-I-S, and the abbreviation for that is XLRS, at the age of 2. But Isaac's eye doctors advised his parents to let him navigate his disability on his own and to not hold him back from anything. "I didn't identify with my disability until I got much older," Isaac recalls. "When I was younger, I just thought this is how everybody sees." Growing up, Isaac started to realize he was different from his peers in school when he had to sit in front of the class or use large print textbooks. But when it came to sports like football and basketball, he felt more comfortable in his own skin than there was an even playing field for him. After not making the high school basketball team, Isaac tried out for the track team instead. Although his coach thought he was fast, Isaac wasn't a fan of sprint training. So he turned to the high jump and later broke the school record during his senior year. Coach Odell, Isaac's high school track coach, gave him the second chance he needed to start over in a new sport, and the boost in confidence he needed at an important time in his life. "When I was younger, I felt invincible, like my vision didn't matter," says Isaac. "I had my eyes set on being a professional athlete. It wasn't until I got older that I started to identify as an athlete with a disability. Now I'm the blind high jumper or the blind long jumper." In 2017, Isaac met Markeith Price, another visually impaired track and field Paralympic athlete. and he introduced him to the idea of participating in the Paralympic Games. Isaac then made the Paralympic Track and Field World Championship team for the high jump, where he broke the world record 3 times, winning gold. And in the 2020 Paralympic Games, he placed 3rd in the long jump, receiving a bronze medal. Isaac's personal record in the high jump is 7 feet 3 inches. I do have limited vision. I still see some, but I think the most beneficial sense that I have is my sense of feel, says Isaac. My vision loss never stopped me from believing in myself. Isaac credits his amazing support system for all his success. He was always encouraged to try new things and never limit himself. A lot of people in my life gave me the confidence that I can be something, that I can do something, says Isaac, and it just corresponded with the career that I'm in. Isaac is also the track and field coach for adaptive sports at San Diego State University, coaching alongside fellow Paralympian Akhil Whitehead. I love the phrase of be your own superhero, so that's what I like to teach my athletes, says Isaac. Growing up with a disability is difficult, and there's going to be a lot of people that put you in a box and make you believe that you can't do certain things. So I want to instill a certain confidence in my athletes about their disabilities. Your disability can be your superpower. Many of the students Isaac works with come in believing they can't do the tasks he gives them, but their actions and successes make it all worth it for Isaac. In addition, Isaac is currently training to qualify for the upcoming Paralympics and Olympic teams. When you look at me, you wouldn't say, "Oh, this guy's blind," says Isaac. When I try to explain my vision to people, they often don't believe me because of the stuff that I'm able to do. There was a time when I just felt by myself and there was no one I could relate to. But finding the foundation fighting blindness has made me feel like I'm not alone. From DCNewsNow.com, Remarkable Women, Howard County's First Blind Teacher, posted March 15th. Howard County, Maryland, Dateline. DC News Now will be honoring Remarkable Women all month long. We're starting in Howard County, where our Annalisa Gale sat down with the school system's first blind teacher, as she empowers them to see the greatness they have within. I couldn't really read ditto, so I thought when I get older, I want to be a teacher, and I want to help students be their best selves, said Sharon Dudley, an elementary school teacher at the Guilford Elementary School. Sharon has been a teacher for 30 years. She first came to the school district in 2021 when she became the first blind teacher in the county. This is in Maryland. The disease that I have is a degenerative hereditary eye disease. I know that I was going to lose all my vision, so I had time to prepare for it, said Dudley. Sharon completely lost her vision at 37 years old, but her passion never went away as she continues to reflect on why she became a teacher in the first place. There was a teacher that put my social studies book on tape for me because she went that extra mile, and I thought this was an amazing lady. It was stuck in my head for many, many years, said Dudley. Sharon said she uses her creativity to engage students in lesson plans. I'm very good at hearing where everybody is in the classroom. We do puzzles. I ask the kids to tell them what they drew and what they wrote. I'm not lesser, I'm just different. And I try also to get that message across to the kids, said Dudley. Sharon is also a mom of young twins with autism. I'm learning a lot about autism, and it also helps me in the classroom to answer questions from parents and people in the community, said Dudley. Her longtime friend, Robert Zaviska, admires her tenacity. She builds up in the kids a confidence, despite whatever challenges that may have, says Zaviska, Z-A-V-I-S-C-A. You have to be true to yourself. You can make it no matter what, said Dudley. From thebigthink.com, Tirzepatide, T-I-R-Z-E-P-A-T-I-D-E. A novel obesity drug ushers in a new era of weight loss because this one works. Scientists are still figuring out why tirzepatide causes weight loss. One theory is that they accidentally created a new hormone. Article by Peter Rogers, posted March 3rd. A new weight loss drug is getting a speedy review by the FDA, and some financial analysts predict that it could break records with up to $48 billion in annual sales. According to a recent clinical study, patients who received a high dose of the drug tirzepatide lost up to 21% of their body weight, an average of 52 pounds, or 23.6 kilograms, more than any other weight loss medication. Strangely enough, tirzepatide wasn't designed to treat obesity. In fact, it mimics a hormone traditionally believed to cause weight gain. The obesity epidemic. Fat cells, adipocytes, create hormones that regulate metabolism, affect satiety, and trigger inflammation. Obesity develops when these cells accumulate more lipids than they can handle, which causes them to malfunction. The overloaded fat cells release molecules that can cause a cascade of metabolic and inflammatory problems that increase a person's risk of other serious conditions and diseases such as diabetes, hypertension, cardiovascular disease, cancer, asthma, and hypercholesterolemia. To ease the stress of the lipid-laden cells and thus repair metabolic and inflammatory dysfunction, people with obesity often need to reduce their body weight by at least 5% to 10%. The traditional intervention to achieve this reduction is lifestyle changes, for instance, better diet and more exercise. However, these changes don't work for everyone. Even if they do work, they rarely work quickly. And when it comes to metabolic and inflammatory dysfunction, the sooner it is repaired, the better. Tirzepatide, a diabetes medication that causes weight loss. A handful of drugs can reduce body weight by 5 to 10%, but similar to lifestyle changes, they don't work for everyone. For example, Orlistat, approved in 1999, only works in about half of patients. However, that trend has changed in recent years. Semaglutide, approved in 2021, helped 86% of patients drop at least 5% of their body weight, with an average weight loss of 15%, compared to 2.4% for placebo. Since its approval, semaglutide, sold under the brand name Wegovy, has been hailed as a transformative breakthrough in the battle against obesity. However, the new drug tirzepatide has left semaglutide in its shadow. 91% of patients saw a reduction of at least 5%, with an average weight loss of 21% for the highest dose, compared to 3.1% for placebo. Surprisingly, tirzepatide wasn't originally designed to treat obesity. It is also the first drug to mimic a pair of hormones released by the gut that stimulate insulin production following a meal. Glycogen-like protein 1, GLP-1, and glucose-dependent insulinotropic polypeptide, GIP. Because the two molecules stimulate insulin, which encourages body cells to take up glucose, thus dropping blood glucose levels, the researchers suspected tirzepatide would make a good type 2 diabetes treatment, and those assumptions were correct. Clinical trials revealed that the dual-targeting drug helped about 50% of the patients achieve long-term glucose control. However, those trials also revealed a big surprise. Tirzepatide provides weight loss that surpasses the leading weight loss drugs. In other words, it seemed that tirzepatide effectively treats two of the most common diseases in the world, obesity and diabetes. This was a bit surprising, considering GIP used to be considered the obesity hormone. Tirzepatide acts like a new synthetic hormone. Of the two hormones that tirzepatide mimics, GLP-1 is by far the most well-studied. It's a powerful tool for weight loss because it reduces appetite and food intake. It's a powerful tool in diabetes management because it stimulates insulin production. Some popular weight loss medications like semaglutide and dietetic medications share structures with GLP-1 and stimulate the GLP-1 receptor. GIP, on the other hand, is a bit of a mystery. Although it was discovered a decade before GLP-1, tirzepatide is the first drug that has harnessed its therapeutic potential. While GLP-1 inhibits appetite and food intake, GIP does not have such effects. On the contrary, many studies suggest that GIP promotes obesity, earning it the moniker the obesity hormone. There is about 2 minutes more, but I'm out of time for today's episode of Vision News. Be sure to listen next week. I hope you enjoyed it. I'm Doris Hyde, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Vision News is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening.